God, that's our prayer that, Lord, your church, this church, Lord, we pray really that every church, Lord, that's hungry and thirsty for you, Lord, that you'd fill that church, Lord, with your peace, your power, your presence, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, truly that the gifts of the Spirit will have free course, Lord, be stirred up and flow through your people. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here, to be in your house, to be with your people. Lord, I thank you for those here, for those watching and listening. We thank you, Lord, for the true church that's out there, Lord, scattered all over the world. Now we ask you to strengthen them and prepare them for what's coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, guess what? We're not doing that right there. That's why, let me tell you something. I don't know if y'all understand, but you know, taking some time, always taking time to praise and worship God before church starts is always good because it allows you to get refocused. So the Lord began to speak something to me yesterday, and I began to push it aside or just pray to make sure the Lord would confirm it to me. And so, hence the reason I felt kind of two directions to go in on this today. I didn't know if the Lord wanted me to share the warning that I feel him stirring in my heart. I think I just wanted to do some more prayer over it. I wanted to do some more, prepare some more visuals for you before I did it. But as we were in praise and worship, the Holy Spirit said, no, you speak what I told you. You give them what I spoke to you yesterday. So I'm going to do that today. First of all, let's turn this. We'll just call this another warning for America this morning. Another warning for America. First of all, I want to go to the book of Jeremiah. I want to start there. Jeremiah chapter 1. I know it's foreign to a lot of people, but I remember Jesus saying in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and they followed me. Now the word, the verb there, the Greek verb, hear and follow, both of those Greek verbs in that verse are present tense, Greek verb. That's right. The students are already answering this question. Present tense, Greek verb, which means ongoing, continuous action that's taking place in the present. My sheep continue. What Jesus is saying there is my sheep continue to hear my voice. It's an ongoing thing, and they presently hear my voice. And they follow me in an ongoing, continual fashion and in the present. That's the definition of a present tense Greek verb. Jesus said in John 15, he said, my sheep, or as he went on to say, he went and say that the Holy Spirit would come, he would be our comforter, but that also he would guide us into all truth. He would speak to us, and he would show us things to come. Is that what's in the Bible? Now, most of the church has dismissed the gift of prophecy and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and that God still speaks to his people today, but that's their problem. It's sad because it has robbed that false doctrine and false teachings robbed a lot of people of even seeking God to hear his voice and discern what the Holy Spirit is saying to the churches. See, we forget that in Revelation 12. It says, Jesus said, hear, if you have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, not just what the Holy Spirit said to the churches. God always speaks. He's living, the living God. He's not dead. He doesn't just speak by this book. He speaks by his Spirit. Now, we look at this book to make sure what we're hearing in the Spirit does not conflict with anything in this book. And of course, God's written word is always above any vision or prophecy or word, which is why the Bible says, let the prophet speak and let the other prophets judge or discern whether it's correct. How do we discern whether it's true or not? Well, number one, by the word of God. Number two, by discerning it in our spirit. This is very important. Now, the reason I had you turn to Jeremiah this morning before I share what the Lord spoke to me is because I want to reiterate something. See, the Lord used this Jeremiah chapter 1. I was reading it when I was 19 years old. And this is what the Lord used to call me to the ministry. His Holy Spirit came on me in power as I'm reading this in Jeremiah chapter 1. And the Lord spoke to me and said, just like Jeremiah, I'm calling you to be a prophet to the nations. Now, I'm not ashamed of that. We've got some nut out here now, just did a video about stop calling yourself pastor or whatever. I thought to myself, are we really going to go down this road? I guess they were wrong for calling Philip the evangelist. I guess Peter and Paul were wrong for, you know, starting their epistles by saying an apostle of Jesus Christ. I guess they were wrong calling Agabus the prophet, or, you know, Phoebe a deacon. Uh-oh, better be careful there, right? But hear what I'm saying. We should not be ashamed of these things. What I was going to get into that too today before the Lord shifted me again in praise and worship was about how we're blown about by every wind of doctrine. Well, where does that phrase come from? Well, it comes from Ephesians 4, where God said he's given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the edifying of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, basically, until we all come into the unity of the faith and into the stature or the maturity of a perfect man or a mature man, that we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And what I was going to say is that the fivefold ministry gifts, all of them are still to be active until Jesus returns. That is just the way it is. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I don't care what doctrines of men and traditions of men and denominations of men have said. The Bible says it one way, and they want to do it another way. That's their problem, and that's why really we're in the mess we're in the church. The church in America, the church in Europe, the church in the West, for the most part, is completely dead when it comes to the supernatural aspects of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fivefold ministry. It's just fruitless, empty deadness, and all they do all the time is figure out little gimmicks to get transfer growth from one church to another. That's what they call evangelism. Church growth, techniques, and manipulation to try to get this group of Christians from this church to come over to this church. That's pretty much what they do, all right? Instead of seeking God, hearing from God, teaching the Bible in its entirety, in its context, and also hearing from God what he is saying to the church. Now, I brought up Jeremiah because I want to say this. Jeremiah, of course, was a young man, very young. Some believe maybe even a teenager or in his early 20s when God called him to be a prophet to the nation of Israel. And he said not just to the nation of Israel, but to the nation. And I want to remind everyone this one little fact. The main prophecy that God gave Jeremiah was one of judgment upon the people of God, on his own nation. It wasn't a pleasant thing that God gave him. Told him out of the north, the first chapter, out of the north is going to come evil upon this people, your people. And I'm going to send you to tell them. And they're not going to like it. But you don't be afraid of their faces. You say what I tell you to say. And Jeremiah started prophesying as a very young man, the word of the Lord, judgment will come upon my people, saith the Lord. Judgment will come upon your nation. Now, guess what? That didn't come to pass until Jeremiah was a much older man. But it came to pass every single word. God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to invade, to take captive, to kill many, to take captive many. And they were slaves and in captivity in Babylon for 70 years until God released them in the days of Daniel. And Daniel even said, how did I know that when the time came for us to be released? He said, I was reading Jeremiah the prophet. Because Jeremiah said it'd be 70 years in Babylon for our sins. Let me just tell you right now that America is not going to escape the judgment of God. It is coming. There'll be places that won't be as bad as others, but America is going to be judged. There is such wickedness here. Even though we've had some strides forward in the last few weeks, we've seen our state here, the state of Alabama, make abortion illegal, punishable by, 99 years in prison, up to 99 years in prison for anyone performing an abortion. I didn't ever think I would see that changed in any state in America, but I think that is huge. You've seen Georgia sign something similar, not quite as strong. I think Alabama's correct. Some people out there like Pat Robertson saying that Alabama went too far. Either it's murder, Pat, or it's not. If it's murder, then the correct punishment is what you would punish someone for murder. I had a debate with someone just yesterday or the day before, face to face. Now, this person, listen to this. I just got to share this. This person said, I'm pro-life, but I think women ought to be able to choose. I said, you're not pro-life then. What kind of sick thing or twisted thing are you telling yourself? I said, if a pregnant woman right now, we were sitting on this guy's porch. I said, if a pregnant woman walked up this porch right now, you punched her in the stomach and she lost her baby, you would be charged with murder. And I got that directly from a circuit court judge friend of mine, because we had this conversation years ago. You would be charged with murder on that baby in the womb. See, it's either murder or it's not murder. And then I see the protest down in Mobile protesting our law. But here's what was disturbing about the protest. There was a bunch of homosexuals down there protesting our abortion ban. What do homosexuals care about abortion? It's bizarre, isn't it? We live in it's a bizarre world we live in. Like, what do they care? They're not getting pregnant unless they're going both ways. I mean, what is the deal? And so they're down there, and there were signs saying, abortion saves lives. I'm not joking you. That's what a sign said. Abortion saves lives. And I said, one out every two people that walk into an abortion clinic die. And I said, and sometimes that number creeps higher because the women die too from complications. And do you know, I was commenting on Facebook. A woman came on and said, now this is a woman with a daughter, a teenage daughter, comes on and says, well, the baby doesn't walk into the abortion clinic. I said, that's right. The baby's carried in by the one that's going to allow someone to dismember it. I'm sorry, I didn't get it exactly right. No, the baby's carried in against its will. It doesn't walk in. You're right about that. But these sick, twisted people, one woman stood up, and these people probably go to church somewhere in Mobile. And one woman stood up and said, a blob of tissue doesn't have rights. And I thought to myself, that's like an argument for abortion from like the 60s. Because now we know that it's not a blob of tissue anymore. But again, psychotic people. And I thought, I told them, I wrote on there, I said, you know what? You pro-abortion people, you guys are no different than the radical Islamists. You want to decide who lives and dies at your whim. But think about this. I got fired from a church in Washington, D.C. because they were going easy on abortion, and I took a stand against it. That's why I got fired as the pastor. The only church that's ever hired me to be the pastor, I got fired. That's why I guess the Lord called me to start churches, because you didn't hire me and you can't fire me and there's no voting and you can vote with your feet. I don't have a demon board. I have elders like the Bible says. All right? I'm sorry. I meant deacon board, right? Most churches have demon boards. A lot of them are Freemasons, but I digress. Well, they're also adulterers too. But anyway, but that's the state we're in. Now, I believe in America, just like with, I think, Alabama taking a stand as we have. I think when you take a stand for what is right, what is righteous, I think there will be mercy of God. I think there will be some mercy of God upon our state. But the Lord spoke to me yesterday, something that he spoke to me in 2000. In fact, there was a prayer meeting. I was pastoring a church in Montgomery, Alabama. I started it in 1995. At that time, it probably had around 100 members. And I remember we had, this was December of 2000, December 31st. So New Year's Eve of 2000, going into 2001. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me in that prayer meeting. I heard the voice of God very clearly say, this year will be a year of tragedy. And that was, of course, 9 months before 9/11. 2 days before 9/11 was a Sunday. And on that Sunday, I was preaching a message that had nothing to do with judgment or terrorist attacks or false flags or anything else. And I was preaching a message, I'll never forget it, entitled The Blessings of God. And the Holy Spirit came all over me, and the gift of prophecy just came up and out, just blurted out of my mouth that I didn't plan to say. I said in that message, there will be a terrorist attack on New York City and Washington, D.C. 2 days before it happened, just in front of the church. And as Sal knows, he met someone that used to be with me in those days, and she confirms events that happened back then. So what I'm saying is, there's a lot of people say, oh, you're just making that up. You're just making that up, you know, but I have witnesses of these things. I have witnesses of, you know, that incident that came up of when I was walking out of the big Assembly of God Church, Evangel Temple in Montgomery years ago, and that person was with me, and three guys got out of a car with masks on with guns pointed at me, ready to shoot me, but God intervened. And some people think I make these stories up, and then someone comes along who was there and actually confirms them. So I'm not lying about this. The gift of prophecy. Remember, the gift of prophecy says, he said that it will foretell things to come. I will show you things to come before they happen. In fact, if you look up in Acts chapter 2, when God said in the last days, he said it in Joel, then Peter repeated it on the day of Pentecost. He said, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. He said, your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. On my servants and on my handmaidens, men and women, and they will prophesy. The word prophesy there, if you look it up, it means to speak by divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It means you're speaking what the Holy Spirit is saying at that moment. It's a different word altogether than preaching. Two different Greek words between preaching and prophesying. Someone speaking by the gift of prophecy, is they are under divine inspiration, and usually it is to foretell events. Now that is New Testament definition, Greek definition of the word prophesy. Very, very important for you to understand that. So today is not really a teaching. I could go on and teach about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but today I'm going to share with you what the Lord is saying, because the Lord spoke to me that that would be a year of tragedy. You think about what happened on 9/11. 3,000 people died. Maybe. Don't know for sure how many died, really. We don't really know now if it was really planes that hit the building. We do know that buildings were blown up and came down to the ground. We do know that the official story says two planes brought down three skyscrapers at free fall rate, though it's never happened in the history of the world. The firefighters said it was controlled demolition. They heard the pop, 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 pop. We saw the girders with shaped charges, girders cut at 45-degree angles, perfectly inward so the building would not fall over but fall straight down. In its footprint. It was planned. There were elements of our own government involved in that. Was it 19 terrorists whose identification papers somehow survived the crash and the flames that allegedly melted girders, jet fuel that melt girders, allegedly, and somehow the terrorist ID survived down on the street in New York? We have been lied to about many things, but I'm here to tell you that another false flag is coming to the United States of America. And it's going to make 9/11 look like a picnic. I'm just going to tell you that right now. And it will be elements within, or elements that have been within, and within our own government. You see, in 2012, the Lord gave me a dream that I didn't fully understand. Let me tell you something. You don't fully understand dreams sometimes when they happen. I'm talking about prophetic dreams. And I'm in my 50s now, so I'm considered an old man now, white beard. I'm an old guy, all right? Plus, I've been doing this for 30-something years, so I'm not a novice at this. And I know the difference between, eating pizza at midnight and a dream that's from the Lord. And in this dream, there was a severe explosion attack. Something huge happened in the dream on the East Coast. I don't know if it was a nuke. I don't know if it was missile attack. I don't know if it was coordinated terrorist bombings. All I know is it was fire and stuff was blown up. And all I know is it was on the East Coast. All right? And I've had dreams about the East Coast and the West Coast. But in this dream, I had some kind of position with the government. And when this happened, my job was to get in contact with the president. And so in the dream, I'm trying to call. I have this phone that I'm supposed to call the president. This time, Obama was president. And I was supposed to call the president, and I call, and he doesn't answer. And so I knew where he was. I was in D.C. I knew where he was. So I ran through the city and made it to the restaurant where he was eating lunch with a group of people at a round table. And it was a cafeteria type place and had the little ropes, you know, that you got to walk through and all that stuff. And I could see him over there. And let's just say in this dream, I knew that there had to be a response to this attack or it was going to get much worse. Right? And so I'm talking to him. He's about as far from me to you, Bob. And I'm trying to get his attention. He won't even look up at me. He's eating. He won't even look up at me. Now, he's supposed to talk to me about this in this dream, but he won't even look up at me. And it was at that moment, you know, in the movies where they zoom in the camera, the old crap moment, I call it. That would have been me, because it was that moment in this dream, I believe the Holy Spirit was revealing, and he was speaking to me, and he said, he's involved in it. It's him. Just like the Bushes were involved in 9/11, it's him. All right? Now, of course, Obama gets his 8 years, and he's out of office, and Trump wins. And so I've had people say, well, see, that wasn't a dream from the Lord. It didn't come to pass. Oh, but let me tell you. We've learned something, if we haven't learned anything over the last few years, is that, first of all, once a man is president of the United States, he is always called Mr. President. That's just a fact, right? Second of all, Obama and all of his deep state infiltrators, from Satanists, Illuminati, Muslims that he put in position, have been causing severe problems for President Trump ever since he became president. And the Lord began to speak to me even when Trump won. And I'll say another thing. The Holy Spirit spoke to me prophetically in January of 2017, before the primaries even started. The Lord said to me that Trump would be president of the United States, and it was God's will for him to be president. The Lord said, it is my will for him to be president. I will turn his heart toward me. I am going to use him. It will be better for you if he is president. And so I know all these people got all these ideas, but I'm talking about the Holy Spirit came on me. I don't get my discernment from YouTube videos. I go and pray and listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, I got people that, oh, Trump's just part of the agenda. No, he's not. Okay? Maybe he's a baby Christian. Maybe he's not. But the bottom line is, I know God put him there. And he has not been obstructing justice or a cover. He's been obstructing people who want to bring in the new world order, the one world government, that want to crumble the United States into a police state. And he is at war with these people. And granted, there's some around him that are involved in that. People that he's trusted wrongfully. It's a mess. All right? And I don't care. Don't send me emails and comments about this, because I don't care. I heard from God. If you told me you heard from God, then we'll have to say, well, one of us heard wrong. But if you say I heard from somebody's video, I don't want to hear it. Don't send me a video. Here's a video to watch. No, don't send it to me. Because there's a difference when you get in the presence of God and you hear his voice and you're in tears because the Holy Spirit is all over you, speaking to you and showing you things to come. And that's what God did with me about Trump. And it came to pass with Trump. And I don't believe all voting is controlled by the Illuminati. There's so many truther lies out there in the truther movement. Oh, God. Somebody the other day said, oh, Republicans and Democrats, two wings of the same bird. I said, shut up with that stupidity. It's just irresponsible. Yes, are there bad Republicans that are Illuminati-controlled puppets? Yes. Are the Democrats-controlled puppets? Yes. Are there some good guys and gals in there? Yes. I know some here in the state of Alabama that are godly Christians. I know the Supreme Court justice is a friend of mine. He used to come to my Bible study regularly. The man is a godly Christian man standing against evil in the political system. There are some true Christians. There are some true patriots. There are some true good guys and good women in government fighting against evil. Please get that understanding, so-called truthers. Too many truthers are video truthers, YouTube truthers. They're not Bible truthers. They're not Holy Spirit-led truthers. So let's just understand that, all right? Everything that claims to be the truther movement gets on my nerves, man. And these 20-something-year-old people that think they know everything because they've been watching YouTube videos. They don't understand half those YouTube videos are made by the controlled opposition anyway. You better know your Bible, and you better hear from the Holy Spirit, especially in the days ahead. You better be close to God. You better have more than just some kind of head knowledge. You better be a little deeper than your local mega church theology. You hear me? Or your local, and I'm going to say it, your local Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, and yes, Assembly of God. It's gotten to be weak out there. It's weak. Christianity is weak. It's surface level. Bumper sticker, meme theology is about all they got. In the old days, I mean, the old preachers used to get in and pray for hours and come out hearing from God. That's what we need. That preach against sin, that talk about heaven and hell. And yes, the judgment of God. Yesterday, as I started just talking to the Lord while I'm looking at Bible, I'm dealing with crazy internet people using the block and ban feature quite a bit yesterday. And the Lord begins to remind me of that dream with Obama. So I started looking into some things about him again, about what he's doing now. About what his people are doing now. Oh, his people are still there, still very loyal to him. In fact, I just pulled up an article yesterday that said among Democrats that Obama is more popular than Jesus. I believe that. If they could, they'd put him back in office. Even though on the economy, on morality, on so many levels, he was the worst president we've ever had, even rivaling Jimmy Carter. Not to mention what he is loyal to. And don't get me wrong, Jimmy Carter, Nixon, the Bushes, Obama, the Clintons, they were all working for the same devil and the same family. Or I should say, families. But let me tell you right now, what is going on and what is going to happen, just like a rabid dog or wolf, Trump is going to keep pushing these people into the corner, as he should, because they're evil. They're a bunch of satanic pedophiles. Just the way it is. They run the human trafficking. They run the buying and selling of children for sex. These people are evil, from the Clintons to the Bushes. And they've been planted. They're all within our government agencies and child protective services. I mean, you can just go read, like I did one day. I just went to the ICE website. I didn't even go to the FBI, to local law enforcement. I just was, somehow I ended up on ICE's website reading one child pornography, human trafficking bust after another. And we're not even scratching the surface of that evil. People wonder why I carry a gun. Let me tell you something. I had two guys. I and my daughter in Walmart, and I knew they wanted to snatch her and looking for an opportunity. My wife's in another part of the store. She doesn't know what's going on. The Holy Spirit telling her somebody's trying to snatch or wants to snatch Faith at the same time. We both see it. Somebody tried to snatch my daughter. I would have dropped him like a bad habit in the middle of Walmart. I would have emptied the clip and reloaded. But this is the evil we're living in. And this is why there's going to be the judgment of God upon this nation. You hear me, what I'm saying. And when it happens, everything is going to change. But Trump is trying to put, listen, with all of his faults, and let's just say he's not saved. He's not even a baby Christian. Let's just say he's an immoral man. But I can tell you one thing, two things about him. I know from the Holy Spirit. I know he loves America. He loves his country. And I know he hates what's going on to these children. And thank God he doesn't like Islam either. He's not a weak little puppet, hand puppet like Justin Trudeau. And listen, I talked, you want to talk about something? I talked to a veteran U.S. border control agent the other day, a veteran. He's about at retirement. That's how long he's been in this thing. And he said that the Middle Eastern people, the Arabs, the Muslims coming across Mexican border and seeking asylum, he said the ones that managed to get papers in the U.S., that managed to get a visa, immediately go to Canada. And I thought, why are they doing that? And then it dawned on me. Just like in the Gulf War, if anybody remembers the Gulf War in 1991, before we invaded Iraq and Kuwait to drive Saddam out of Kuwait, it took us about 6 weeks to 8 weeks. I can't remember how long. It was several, couple of months to amass our troops, our tanks, all of our stuff in Saudi Arabia. Man. You don't just go to war. You have to preposition troops and weapons and supplies and armament. Am I right, my Marine friend here? I think Trudeau is actually taking them in to position them on our northern border. I believe we have enemies being prepositioned on our southern border. I believe the Chinese will come in on our western border, and probably Russian nuclear torpedoes on our eastern border. Oh, yes, I said it. When it's time for the trigger to get pulled, things are going to change here. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you what the Lord spoke to me yesterday. These were his words to me. And like he said to Ezekiel, he said it to me this morning, sitting right here in praise and worship. You give them warning from me. But he said to me again, I heard these words for the second time. He said, tragedy is coming to America. And when it does, you need to know one thing, that Obama is behind it. That was his words to me. This is not a black thing. This is not a white thing. This is an Illuminati thing. This is a New World Order thing. This is their goal. What was interesting, too, and I was going to play clips and all this stuff, but that's why I wasn't ready for this, really. I didn't feel like, but just obey the Lord. But how many of you know that Satan owns and runs the music industry and the movie industry. And everybody remembers how much was in the media pre-9/11 pointing to 9/11. Remember all of that? Remember it was in, I played some of it a few weeks back, The Long Kiss Goodnight, 1996. They talked about the World Trade Center bombing. And these rogue CIA agents said, you know, we need to get funding out of Congress. So they said, we're going to basically have us a terrorist false flag and we're going to blame it on the Muslims. And he goes, I mean, you're going to try to fake some terrorist thing. I think it was Samuel L. Jackson. You're going to try to fake some terrorist thing so you can scare some money out of Congress. And the guy says, I don't know how to fake killing 3,000 people or 4,000 people. We're just going to have to do it for real. The lone gunman bring down a loaded 747 in the middle of New York. Over and over again, we saw the Twin Towers hit by planes. In TV show after TV show and movie after movie. You know, there's those, I used to fight a good bit. I took martial arts for a number of years. One of the things you try to learn in martial arts is not to do what they call telegraphing your punch. You seen these idiots that think they know how to fight? They get a, that's called telegraphing your punch, right? Those are easy to block. You don't telegraph. Well, I think that our enemy friends, it's part of the rules. They have to telegraph their punch. As Jesus said, everything spoken in secret is going to be shouted from the rooftops. So the rule he's made with Satan and his boys is, yeah, whatever you plan, that's up to you, but you got to tell it. And they tell it all the time. And that's why there was all of this telegraphing of 9/11. Well, just saw it last night. I don't know when she did it, but Madonna just did this big show in Europe. And she comes out in this black garb with a patch on one eye with a big X on it. Okay? Now, I'm not going to go into the whole thing. She starts walking down these stairs, and it's basically, it's a satanic ritual. It's got the Satanists in the hoods, and they're doing the chants, and it is so dark and satanic. It's a satanic ritual. Okay? You got to remember, she's a high priestess in this Illuminati thing. And she's part of their messaging to the world, right? So she starts walking down the stairs, and of course, on this side of her black dress is an upside down cross. Just saying, Satanist, I'm a Satanist in your face, right? So she starts talking about, singing about the future. She says, not everybody's going to make it to the future. Not everybody's going to make it to our future. And behind her on these big screens, are these fire and explosions and the Statue of Liberty being broken, falling down. See, they're telegraphing it again. You say, Pastor Dean, did the Lord say when? No, he didn't tell me when. When he told me, you know, in 2000, he said, this year. He didn't say that to me this time. He just said, tragedy is coming to America. And when it comes, know that Obama and his people will be behind it. And then he reminded me of my dream. And there was more to my dream, because in that dream, they had me arrested and put in jail, in prison for a minute. But I was out like that. So, like I said, there was more to that dream. But we're going to see everything the Bible said come to pass. I know we've got some, and let me just address this real quick, because it's only 15 to 12. I'm doing great. If I do say so myself. Okay. Y'all know I'm good for an hour and a half. We only been going 45 minutes, so y'all are blessed today. I guess my Memorial Day gift. But the Lord's been showing me about what's coming to America really for quite a few years now. I've seen visions of the East Coast and the West Coast devastated. He's spoken to me about certain cities being destroyed. In Madonna's video, not only was there fire and the destruction of New York, but some of the characters were wearing gas masks. So I suspect there will be biological or chemical attacks mixed in with this. Now, I don't say all this to scare you any more than Jeremiah or Ezekiel. I mean, even Jesus. You know, we got a bunch of people out there think that everything's supposed to be positive and sweet and uplifting about the ministry and about sharing. But even Jesus, when he came in to Jerusalem, and this is Luke, in fact, let's turn to Luke 19. Y'all can read Jeremiah for yourself. But go to Luke chapter 19. And the reason we haven't turned to a lot of scriptures today is because this is not a teaching service. This is a prophetic message. But Luke chapter 19, this is when Jesus rides into Jerusalem a week before he's crucified. Look at verse 41. This is Jesus now. It says, when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou had known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hidden from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass or surround thee round and keep thee in on every side. And they shall lay even thee with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. This is Jesus letting them know. He's weeping over the city of Jerusalem because he says the judgment is coming. It's going to come upon you. Not one stone is going to be left on another. They're going to kill you even with your children within you. That means they're going to kill pregnant women. They're going to kill. Jesus was weeping over it. But he was giving them warning. And he told them, why is this going to happen to you? Because you didn't recognize who was visiting you. You didn't recognize me as your Lord, your Savior, your Messiah, the promised one. You didn't listen to me. You didn't hear what I was saying. You didn't repent, Pharisees. You didn't repent, high priest. You didn't repent, multitudes of my people. You didn't hear it. You didn't recognize it. You didn't discern what was happening. And now your house is left unto you desolate. The judgment will come upon you because of your sin, because of your rejection, because of your attitude. But right now, American Christianity is sick. And the Torah movement, sicker. And the truth movement is sick. There's very few, you want to tell you, there's very few healthy churches in America. The reason I know that is because I get email after email after email after email. Is there a church that preaches against sin, that preaches repentance, that preaches holiness, that preaches Jesus is Lord, that preaches he's the only way to heaven, that there is a heaven and there is a hell, that preaches the end time prophecies that we're living in? Is there a church like yours in my city? And I have to tell them over and over and over again, not one that I know of. That should not be in America. We have so many Christians, but we have listened to the doctrines of men and the traditions of men, and we have been watered down by weak, lukewarm, unscriptural, unbiblical Christianity for far too long. And we are not hearing, we are not in the prayer closet, we are not fasting, we are not hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying, and that is why we have weak, dead Christians and churches full of people that think the hippest thing in Christianity is to run and get a tattoo.
How about some radical? You want to be radical? It's not about getting a tattoo. How about getting on your face, weeping and repenting over the sins of this nation and understanding that God's judgment will not be held back forever? We are running out of time. I believe God did intervene for America because of prayer warriors and people who got on their face and said, God, have mercy on us, or we would already be in the mess. Trump was a delay. Stopping Hillary was a delay. God gave us another season of mercy and grace in America, of peace and even some prosperity and some freedom to continue to preach the gospel and to share it. But you notice they're trying to clamp down on us, Facebook and Google and YouTube. And that censorship will increase, and that hatred will increase, and persecution will increase. The only thing that will prepare you for the tragedies that are ahead, because you better know the Lord. You better know the Lord Jesus intimately, personally. You can't ride on someone else's salvation, someone else's relationship. You better have your own, because everything in you is going to be tested and tried. You hear me? Say, well, Pastor Dean, I'm ready for that. Listen, Peter and John and all those guys, they thought they were ready too for what was coming. Remember Peter? Lord, I don't know what the rest of them are going to do, but I will never deny you. I will even die for you. And he's the first one. I don't know who he is. Are you a Bible Christian or are you an American Christian? I'm so sick of this stuff. I'm sorry. I'm being real this morning. Just letting it loose. I'm sick of these little 20-something-year-olds that think they're theologians that are blown about by every wind of doctrine and get mad at me when I won't jump on their latest wind and sailboat ride. I had one of them yesterday, and I'm like, his little new false doctrine he's on, he thinks he's got something new. I said, it's not new. In fact, the Jehovah's Witnesses have been teaching it for years. It's not new. And I told him, flat out, don't waste my time with it. Wake up, snap out of it. Deception is everywhere, and you think it's going to get easier? Well, what are y'all going to do when the Pope starts calling down fire from heaven? What are y'all going to do when people start getting healed, supernatural miracles start happening when the Pope touches them? What are you going to do when the Pope goes out and points up in the sky and a UFO appears and he says, these are our saviors? False prophet will deceive the nations. I watched a video this morning how he's talking about all religions must come together. It is upon us. So, Pastor Dean, what if it's not for 5 years or 10 years? Maybe it is. I don't know. What if it's tomorrow? Are you ready? You see, I think about the Christians in Iraq, 2012. Do they have any comprehension about what was about to hit them with ISIS? Folks, they were lining Christians up and shooting them in the back of the head, or cutting their heads off, or hanging them, or crucifying them in public by the thousands. 2013, 14, 15. And Americans sit here and go, never happened here. And you know what Obama did for 8 years? He let them in. Just ask some of our friends. There's certain places, Minnesota, Michigan. We even recently discovered an Islamic Muslim terrorist training camp here in Alabama in Macon County, one county over from us. Though I don't know why they want to be down here. They get froggy in Alabama is another thing coming. But this is, how do I put it? This is happening all around us. Can you imagine they create chaos and these organized little sleeper cells all over our country are told to awaken? And they hit the streets with their stockpiles of weapons that they have on their compounds right now in America. So it couldn't happen, Pastor Dean. Oh, it can only happen in Iraq, I guess. That can only happen in Afghanistan. That can only happen. Oh, yeah, only can happen during the Chinese Communist Revolution. Or that could only happen. That only could happen in Russia, Pastor Dean, when they turned communist. No. Jesus said, one of the signs of the end, then they shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. No, there's people out there, and I got to say this and I'll finish, and it's still not even 12. There's people out there that think that they've got this mentality, the seven mountain mandate or the kingdom now, dominion theology, that they believe the church is going to conquer the evil of the world and take over government and education and the media and Hollywood and politics and everything else. And the church is going to create the golden age, the millennium, the peace, the time of peace. And then when we do that, then Jesus is going to come. But it may just be its spiritual form. Let me tell you, that's a lie. It started by the Vatican. And that nonsense is being preached and taught by a lot of charismatics and Pentecostals even, who should know better. See, there's only two philosophies of the end. It's that one, that the world's going to get better and better because the church is going to make it better and better, which she's not. Or that things are going to get worse and worse and worse until Jesus has to come back or no flesh would be saved. Which one does the Bible say is going to happen? Right. Things will only turn around completely when Jesus returns. And he will return. I had somebody the other day, somebody that should know better. So I don't know if Jesus is really going to, this is Christian prayer. I don't know if Jesus is really going to return physically. It might just be a spiritual thing. And again, what is this, where does this, all these winds of doctrine come from? Because they don't read their Bible. It says, even those who pierced him will see him. The Jews that see him come back will say, where did you get those wounds in your hands and in your feet? The angel said when he ascended into heaven in front of all those people, this same Jesus is going to come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Every eye will see him. He will place his feet on the Mount of Olives and it will split in two. He's going to kill the Antichrist with a sword that comes out of his mouth. A sword of light will kill the Antichrist. Jesus will kill the armies of the Antichrist, so many of them that it says the blood will run in the valleys there in Israel to the horse's bridle. Sounds pretty literal to me. This is where we are headed. Now, let me say this on a good note. I do believe what Daniel said, that those who know their God will be strong and do exploits. We will be strong. The true born again, spirit-filled, righteous believers who hate sin and love God and stand for the truth and will stand up in the face of this evil and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ without compromise. We'll see great and mighty things happen. Many will be turned to righteousness, and many will be healed. Miracles will happen. There will be supernatural protection at times. Many of us, though, will be martyred, but some will make it all the way through and be raptured at the end. It's not going to all be defeat. We will be his light and salt to this lost and dying world. Even in the darkest and most evil of times. That's why I know he's not taken us out before. That's another false doctrine of men. He's prepared us for this hour, for this time, to be a light. Jesus prayed, Father, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from evil. You protect them in the midst of it. Don't take them out. You know what? If God gave me the option to leave or stay, I'd say, God, I want to leave, but I'm going to stay so I might win somebody to Jesus Christ and keep them from an eternity in hell. You talk about love. These people always want to talk about love. You got to love people. Oh, you want to leave them all here. You pre-trib rapture, but y'all want to leave them. You know, I'm out, guys. Yeah, good luck. That's love, isn't it? How about I want to stay and help them? Maybe stop them from taking the mark of the beast. Maybe stop them from falling into the deception. Maybe lead someone to Jesus. Maybe be an example that when they lay your head on the guillotine block, you look over at them and they see you smiling. You don't want to mess with somebody's mind. My head will roll off smiling. That's why people don't forget Pastor D's message. This is Christianity. Jesus is the one who said, they're going to kill you. And I get up here and say, you know what? They're going to kill you. And, oh, Pastor Dean's so negative. He's a fear monger. That's fear porn. Word. Don't say that to me. I will bang you and block you so fast. You'll be like, where'd Pastor Dean go? And you know, some of these people that are blown about with every wind of doctrine, I don't know where they get the idea that I'm under the obligation to listen to them constantly. Titus 3, 10 and 11. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he is subverted. Look, if I give you two times, that's what the Bible says. If I give you three or four, I've really gone above and beyond. I've walked the extra mile with you. But after a while, I'm just going to say, goodbye. There's people that want to listen, that don't want to argue, that want to learn. And seeing that you know everything, you might want to move on. Start your own church somewhere. Amen? Or oh me. Let me read one more. Go to Psalm 91. This one hit me while we were in worship. We don't think about this. Everybody thinks about Psalm 91. Oh, the protection of God. Yeah, it is. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful promise. It's a conditional promise. But let's read a little bit of it real quick. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The secret place. That's that place of prayer. That's you having your own relationship with God, an intimate, real relationship where you know you're born again. You know Jesus has washed your sins away. You know His Holy Spirit has filled you, and you hear His voice. You hear from Him. It's a two-way conversation at times, not just a one-way conversation. See, too many people say they're Christian, but they're not born again. They don't have a relationship with God. The secret place, dwelling, living, abiding in that place is a place of intimacy with God. And if Moses could have it in the Old Testament, the Bible says we have a better covenant with better promises. Jesus' blood is better than the blood of bulls and goats. We can have access into His presence by the blood of Jesus. And you should have, listen, there's no excuse in this New Testament, New Covenant reality. There's no excuse for not having a personal, living, real, vibrant relationship with the Lord. It is simply neglect if you don't, as a Christian. So he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Why can you say that? Because you dwell in the secret place. You can't say that if you don't. This doesn't apply to you if you don't dwell in the secret place. He goes on to say, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth, you got to be in the truth. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And if these things are real in your life, you will not be afraid for the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. You see, you won't be afraid when these things happen if you are dwelling in the secret place. If you can truly say, the Lord is my fortress and my shield. Not because you heard Pastor Dean say it, but because you know it. Because you know Him. He says, you won't be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Now think about this for a minute. You're standing in the midst of destruction and desolation and death, but you are not afraid. And 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but you're still standing because you have been in the secret place of the Most High. You have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Redeemer. The God of creation is yours. But the Lord, this morning when we're sitting there in worship, this verse comes to my mind, and this is a picture of a person standing in the middle of this. If this doesn't apply to the last days, end time Christian, who does it apply to? Because Jesus said, we're going to enter into a season such as the world has never seen. It's going to be so bad. He goes on to say, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. And then he says this in verse 8, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. You're going to see it. You're going to see the judgment. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Because you've made the Lord, the Most High God, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the true God who came in the flesh, died on the cross, rose, and the true God, because you've made Him your habitation. He's where you live and dwell. You're all about him. It's a daily life, like breathing in and out. Jesus today, Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus at night, Jesus tomorrow. Because he's your habitation. Is Jesus your habitation, or is it just something you think about once in a while? Is the Lord Most High God your habitation? He says, if you made the Lord your refuge and your habitation, there shall no evil befall thee. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under the feet. And listen to this, verse 14, because, everybody say, because. Let me hear you, because. Because he has set his love upon me. This is the Lord speaking. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That'd preach right there, woman. So I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not afraid. I've seen a vision. An open vision, wide awake, of a predator drone headed toward my house, like I'm watching a movie, like I'm watching a Jason Bourne. And I saw this big hand come out of the sky, appear just in the sky, and swat that predator drone to the ground like it was a fly, like it was a bug. God is able. You remember that time a million troops gathered against Israel? Surrounded them. Impossible situation. What are we going to do? What did Jehoshaphat, had a godly king, what did he say to do? Fast and pray. Y'all need to fast and pray because we're in trouble. And they fasted and prayed and they heard the Lord. The Lord said, what? Send the praise team out. Well, Lord, don't we need to send soldiers out? No, send the praise team out. Second Chronicles chapter 20, right? Send the praise team out. Let them start praising me. Let them start having a worship service. Well, God, that don't make any sense. Obey me. So guess what? Send the band out. Send the praise team out. And what do you do? God turned that army against itself. They began to fight each other. And then half of them ran off, scared. They didn't even know what they were scared of. A million soldiers. You know how many we had in the Gulf War? We had 500,000. We had half a million. China's got, well, China can put together a standing army. I think it was about around 800 million if they needed to. If they drafted everyone of age, 800 million people. What about 800 million people surround the United States of America? Do we have any hope? Unless we nuke them all, I guess. But you get my drift. Nothing's too hard for God. There is protection in him. You say, well, Pastor, you said they're going to kill somebody. Yes, but those are going to be martyrs. Because that's God's plan for us, and I'm good with that. If I'm to be a martyr, I'm good with that. If I'm to live to the very end, I'm good with that. I'm good with it either way. Are you good with it? Whatever God's plan is for you. Let's stand. What's that Crowder song that we like? Yeah. Let's do that one. All my hope. And what I want us to do before we leave this morning, because it's only 12:15, is I want us to worship the Lord. We may even do this song twice here. But I just want us to worship him. What? There's power. And some of you need to understand this. You say, well, Pastor Dean, I have a hard time in prayer. I struggle in prayer. Listen, get you some good praise and worship. Really some old school stuff. Get you some 90s stuff, 80s stuff.
Amen.
Go back to Brownsville Revival stuff. Go back to old time stuff. Go back to some hymns and take some time and worship God in your prayer time, in your private time. Take 20 minutes, 30 minutes and worship. And then you're going to find it a lot easier to pray. Say, Pastor Dean, I don't have time for this. You don't have time for that. You better change your schedule. Let me pray and we'll do this. Father, thank you for your word, for your anointing and your presence I feel today. Lord, we all have sinned and come short of your glory. We've all been affected by all the junk we see around us. Lord, we've allowed ourselves to be distracted with worldly things. We've allowed ourselves to waste time, to not spend time in the secret place seeking you, loving you, worshiping you, getting strong spiritually. I pray your people will hear this message this morning. It's time to get ready because things will change in the world dramatically in the years ahead of us. But we want it to be all about you. We want to be close to you. We want to hear your voice. We want to be able to discern situations, people. We want to be led by the Spirit and not by our own carnal mind. Nor do we want to be led by the doctrines of men. But I pray for your people today that they would prepare themselves spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, in every way they would prepare for what's coming. They have been warned. Jesus' name.
Down to his knees.
God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, Lord, then he picked me up and showed me what it means to be a man. Come on and sing.
Thank you.
They'll just be like the rest of us and admit that we've all sinned and fallen short of your glory, that we've all been distracted and pulled at times away from righteousness and holiness and from your presence and walking with you. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name today that you will deal with every heart and draw them. And I just felt this real strong while we were singing that song right here. There's some of you out there listening, watching this today. You do not need to delay any longer. Some people are putting off. They know they need to repent of their sins and surrender to Jesus and let him wash their sins away and become a true disciple, but they're clinging to something in the world, something they don't want to let go of. And I just feel very strongly there's some of you out there, your time is drawing very short to make this decision. Do not let it be too late for you. All right. Let's hug some necks before we leave. We want to dismiss. God bless those out there watching and listening. We love y'all. Praying for you. Amen.
Take my heart, lay it down at the feet of you whose crown. Take my heart, let me go. The